Well, if you'll take your Bibles with me, please, and let's go to the book of Proverbs. We do have to hurry. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're in Proverbs chapter 6. And so what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to choose, I've already chosen six different topics, and I'm going to ask different men to take a topic. Now, this may actually take two Wednesday nights. So just because of the nature of it. And so how many men are willing to take? What we're going to do is we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. If you'll look at that with me, please. A phenomenal passage of Scripture. Notice what he says in verse number 16. And I'll get there. There we are. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now, you have the two key words there are hate and an abomination. Hatred by God would be significant, would it not? If God says, I hate something, should we sit up and pay attention? Amen or no? Amen. Good hearty amen there. If God says something is yea, these are not only something I hate, but these are an abomination to me. If God says it's an abomination, we better just pay passionate concern to it. Amen or no? Amen. All right, so let's look at it. What are they? These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven, are an abomination to him. Number one, a proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Number five, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Okay? Wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run in running to mischief. Number six, I believe it is. A false witness that speaketh lies. And number seven, he that soweth discord among the brethren. So we don't want to just pass over this text. God says, I hate these, and this is an abomination. Okay? Let's be very careful in our own lives that we're not giving in to even the entrance of any of these. With that in mind, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask as many men as want to, up to seven, to take one of these. And so if you men, how many men are willing to do that? Let's go ahead and count. There's one, two, I'll just start over here, three, four, five, there's six, and there's seven. That does it. Okay. Here's, if you'll get a pencil and paper, a pen, or something to write with, I'm going to give you two things to write down, and I want you to put the three things together when you present it to us next Wednesday night and probably the next Wednesday night. So we'll just plan on three each night. Let's just do it that way, and maybe we'll see how far we get the first night. It may be four, it may only be three, and we may have to try to tie the fourth one into the second week or make it the next. But I believe these are important. There's not many things God says, I hate it, and not only do I hate it, it's an abomination. And so we want to pay attention. All right, you ready, fellas? Here we go. Let's see, who over here? Brother Corrado, why don't you start? That's a proud look. On each of these, what I'm going to do, if God says, I hate these things, I hate a proud look. All right? Well, if God says, I hate a proud look, that means there must be an alternative. So what I want you to do is to help us to understand, all right, if God says I hate this, then how do I stay away from it? You remember in Romans, he says that we are to abhor evil. All right, how do I do, not to have our love with dissimulation. How do I have our love without dissimulation? Here's how you do it. You abhor, have a holy hatred for evil, then you turn that inside out, and what is that? You cleave to that which is good. Or like two sides of a door. One side of the door, abhor evil. The other side of the door, cleave to that which is good. Okay, so let me tell you what I'd like you to think about. And if it comes out differently than that, that's all right. As long as you've prayed about it and you've sought it, all right? So here's a proud look. This would be Brother Carollo here. And that is a humble look, just simply as that. Some of them will have more to it than that, but a humble look. How's that work? All right, and here's a principle. With each of these, there will be a principle that I want you to kind of help us to keep in mind, okay? And I think in both of these, this principle that I'm going to give, what could be applied to either one of these, either a proud look or a humble look. Here's the principle. Either one of these, each one of these is an evidence of a chosen disposition. Each one of these is evidence of a chosen disposition. If I have a proud look, I've thought about it. I'm better than. Or I've got to be this way in order to climb the corporate ladder. Or whatever the orders are. Or just the opposite of that, a humble spirit. That's a disposition that I'm to have the mind of Christ, who humbled himself, and so forth. So does that make sense, Brother Carollo, what I'm looking for? Okay. Number two, let's see, who else over here? Brother Allen? Is that Allen? It is. All right. Okay, a lying tongue. Okay. Oh, it was Ezra. All right. He could do it. All right. He's my buddy. All right. So a lying tongue, and the opposite or the other side of that is a trustworthy tongue. A trustworthy. Okay. In other words, the tongue is worthy of trusting. Whatever comes out, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That kind of a thing. All right. So what is the principle? Is the evidence of, and each one of these starts with an evidence of. This is an evidence of an ambition seeking influence. Evidence of an ambition seeking influence. A lying tongue is trying to influence, isn't it? Yeah. And so is also a trustworthy tongue. The third one then, who, let's see, anyone else, wasn't else on this side? Unless we go all the way back to Brother Don, all right? Brother Don, if you'll take the third one, and that's hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. Okay? And the other side of that is hands that protect innocent blood. One is shedding, the other is protecting. So here's the evidence. Either one of these can be an evidence of innocence, of innocent bloods. Innocent bloods, that's apostrophe S in the possessive. Evidence of innocent blood's intrinsic value. I tried to think of another word besides intrinsic, but it could be natural. In other words, the blood itself has value. Okay, so if it's innocent blood, if they shed it, then they say there's no intrinsic value. It's just blood out of somebody. You got blood out of a turnip. Well, you can't get it out of a turnip, I guess. All right. So then you have, what's the evidence there? It's the evidence of the blood's intrinsic value. All right, we come right over here. Is that Brother Mills? Okay, Brother Mills, that's number four. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Now, I know there's a lot of you that are not writing this down and don't need to be. You say, well, we're not really studying. Yes, we are. As we're going through this, I hope your mind is going to work on these things and saying, yeah, it does have intrinsic value. No, not for the abortionist. Okay, there's a higher priority, and it's just, you know, it's not a goat. It happens to be whatever. All right, so a heart that deviseth. All right, what's the opposite of that then? Or the other side of it is a heart that creates, righteous ambitions. Romans 5:2. By whom also you have access into this grace wherein you stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In other words, you dare to dream with God. There are those who have to hope to have some wicked imaginations come to pass in their life. They're just wicked. There's others, though, on the other side of that, that hope that they desire to create righteous ambitions. And if any of you have trouble with the way I've worded this and it doesn't make sense, just come see me and I'll hope to make sense to it of myself, all right? The evidence here is evidence of embraced, the last one was imaginations and desires. This one is what the heart has already embraced, all right? Evidence of embraced but unspoken desires. I could, if I could, I would. Evidence of embraced but unspoken desires. And that could be wicked imaginations or righteous ambitions. It's in the heart. It's locked in there, but it's not to fruition. Okay? Number five. Let's see. That'd be Brother Josh. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Okay? Feet to be swift in running to mischief. And the other side of that would be feet that be swift in running to righteous opportunities. I want to be used of you some way every day, Lord. I can't wait until a soul winning opportunity, or an opportunity of being kind or gentle or humble. I can't wait for it, okay? Instead of running to mischief, running to righteous opportunities. Here's the evidence of passion for opportunities. I'm sorry, for participation. I'm sorry. Okay, evidence of passion for participation. Okay, I want to be a part of that. Either it's running to mischief or to righteous opportunities. It's okay if Brother Nels is doing it. That's all right, but that's good. I'm glad for him, but I want to be a part of this too. All right. Number six, and only two more, and it's so important, I rang a bell about it. All right. Sorry about that. It's my son. All right. Number six is a false witness that speaketh lies. And the opposite of that is an honest, H-O-N-E-S-T, an honest witness that speaketh truths. Did I appoint someone for this? Okay, I'm sorry, that's Brother Woodby. All right, Brother Woodby, okay, a false witness that speaketh lies is an honest witness that speaketh truths. And here's the evidence. That's evidence, either one of those, an evidence of willingness, to change. And this is kind of awkward the way I said it. Probably could be said better. Evidence of a willingness to change others, in the possessive there, O-T-H-E-R-S apostrophe, a willingness to change others' vulnerable setting. Vulnerable means you're not watching for it and there's a car coming your way. You're vulnerable to be hit, okay? Or whatever it is, all right? So, and false witness speaketh lies. They're willing to change a vulnerable setting to the worse. But somebody that is an honest witness that speaketh truths is an evidence of willingness to change others' vulnerable setting to righteousness, so forth. All right, number seven and the last one. He that soweth discord among the brethren. And that would be, who is that? Okay, Brother Moody. All right, he that soweth discord among the brethren. The opposite of that would be he that soweth unity. He that soweth unity among the brethren. And here's the evidence. That's the evidence of intentional influence. Some of these are similar, but there's a uniqueness to each one. Evidence of intentional influence for change among the brethren. Okay? So if you're sowing discord and you're doing that, you're doing it for on a crusade to get something accomplished that couldn't happen if you told the truth. And so you kind of have an admixture of the truth and a little fudging in there, or a whole lot of lie, you know, and it's a lie if you're fudging it. So you do that in order to change the setting of somebody. Or just the opposite, he that soweth unity among the brethren is evidence of intentional influence for change among the brethren. So if there's disunity, and you're going and you're sowing unity, you're going to that brother or that sister and saying, listen, I know there's some challenges. We're brother and sister in Christ, or brother and brother, or sister and sister. And so let's just talk through it. We can do that. God has a way of bringing this thing around to where it's flying in the right place. It's going in the right direction, and so that we can have fellowship one with another. All right? Okay, so that's those seven. How many of you believe that God would have us to be pleased in spending time on these seven? Amen, and as do I. And so let's do it. I'm looking forward to the men that will be presenting these. And I've spent time thinking through these, as maybe you can tell by hammering this out. For every godly purity, Satan has a defilement. But for every satanic defilement, God has an eternal answer. Amen? And especially for his people. So that we're not to walk after darkness, not to walk after the world, because he's given us light, and he says we are light as we emanate his light. Okay, all right.